Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. Now, after the nice episode with Jean-Michel Gaudier, we have to return back to the news. For starters, well, everyone's now being curious about what exactly is going to happen on the 9th of May. The mobilization talks have increased a lot, and I'm sure something is going to happen, but there are massive doubts about whether or not there's going to be a victory parade, and then, well, just like in 1941, they also held some sort of a parade, and after that parade, tanks went straight to the front, so I'm not sure if that's going to happen. However, I got some conflicting news about the situation, so I fact-checked everything, and, I don't know how to put this, visited allegedly legitimate businessmen. My friends, well, sort of, friend-ish things that I've been using to explain the Soviet prison episodes. I had a nice little conversation with allegedly legitimate businessmen. I'll say that. Everything is just allegedly, just so we make things very clear from the legal standpoint. And turns out that, Russia needs more men, and Igor Girkin, everyone has been talking about this mobilization. However, currently there is no real preparation for this mobilization, and we're going to find out what's going to happen with the conscripted people, because now it's been a month since the conscription in Russia started, and well, this spring enlistment thing hasn't fixed up their holes, because Ukrainian army reports that about 25% of their most elite forces in Russia, well, Russian elite forces, Russian VDV, which is their paratroopers, they're kind of like, you know, Air Force Marines for Russia, they've suffered huge losses, and now some sort of mobilization is needed. However, you can't just announce mobilization and then hope that on the next day everything's gonna go well. No. You need training, you need facilities, you need a lot of technology and movement. Mobilization doesn't happen on an instant if you haven't fully prepared for it. And despite people worried that he will announce this mobilization, well, by now, at least, I would definitely inform you people if I would see some serious prep work going on for that. However, Putin might not want to mobilize because that would be a deeply unpopular decision. So, but the holes need to be patched somehow. So, as far as I know, they have returned to the same strategy that they used back when this whole Donbass mess started in 2015. See, back then, one of the leaders of the whole Donetsk region was a person named Givi. He, together with Motorol, were the big heroes. We had videos stating that, at that point, I think it was Zakharchenko who stated that, my grandfather, he survived death camps in Reykjavik, because he apparently thought Reykjavik in Iceland was somehow connected to the Nazis, which it obviously wasn't. But Givi managed to become a soldier for the mercenaries that Russia sent in under the command of Girkin in Donbass, because he managed, you know, he'd been in prison before, and he got arrested once again, and then and in the police, they just told him that you can volunteer and become a contractor, or you can go back to prison. And according to my allegedly legitimate businessman, such things are happening right now, especially if you get caught for non-violent crimes such as, you know, some drug offenses and stuff like that, because they state that you'll go to prison if and you can go to prison, we can arrest you, or you can, you know, sign this nice little contract and go and fight in Ukraine. This has started. Also, another thing is that even those people who are, well, even a bit too crazy for Russia to conscript right now, yeah, they can go and join Kadyrovtsi, because in Telegram, in one of those Z, Voyenny Ugolok Z, one of those War Corner Z channels, which is extremely pro-Putin and pro-war, yeah, they had photos, about which I asked. There was a person who was posting blatantly very pro-war, let me shoot the Nazis in Ukraine type of stuff, but he had served 10 years for an armed robbery, and then apparently he was involved in a murder attempt or something. Like, he was that crazy that the Russian army didn't take him. Then 2 weeks later, because, you know, I let it slide because all sorts of crazies do this. But then two weeks later, he literally pops up in videos from Chechnya saying, Slava Ahmatu, Spasiba Kadirov, Lord, thanks to Kadirov, glory to Ahmat, all this stuff. And yeah, apparently Kadirovtsi, the TikTok warriors, because they have to send someone to die on the front lines, otherwise his main core forces are just reenacting American action movies in the background in empty buildings and partying on TikTok while occasionally being shot at by artillery. But yeah, apparently Kadirovtsi are literally hiring people who have served for extremely, sort of served time for extremely dangerous crimes. At the same time, there are clear purges in the Russian police forces. You can get fired even if you just subscribe to Navalny's YouTube channel and you have to watch educational movies about why this battle against Ukraine is just, and they're preparing for mass punishments once again. They really want to vet out everyone who's not 100% ideologically pure from Putin's perspective in those forces. And that involves prison administrations as well. Currently, I mentioned this a while ago, but it had gone so bad with all the tortures and everything, and in prisons right now, you know, we've spoken about the red zones and the black zones, those prisons who live by the rules of Bratva and those who live by the rules of the administration. So-called red zones are the administration ones. And apparently, a lot of administrators have turned into this, because you can't really, according to Ponyatiya, the laws of the criminal underworld, the allegedly legitimate businessman world, sorry, I wanted to say that, you can't volunteer for an army, you can't really operate with authorities, because that's operating together with the authorities, and that's considered dishonorable over there. But it's gone to such a point that there are now, Ponyatiya stated that, well, yeah, if you get raped by prison administration as part of your torture, you're no longer considered a petukh, which is insane. That means it must happen en masse. And they're trying to enforce more brutal discipline and destroy these vorev zakonye, these criminal authorities and their say in the penal colonies, because they want more and more people to basically serve part of their time and then go to the army. Because criminal population, yeah, you know, they had strafbati. But right now, well, I wouldn't be surprised that people are stealing because they're actual thieves. And a lot of people who've come back from Ukraine, they're also, well, not very happy about this whole situation. And we have a lot of cases where people just refuse to go back. And they also get threatened by them being put in prison. And at the same time, we can also see this whole situation here, because the criminal underground doesn't enjoy this whole war stuff, because unlike the governments, they don't really have the boundaries. For example, Georgians and Armenians and Ukrainians and Belarusians and Russians, they are one. Well, they have split areas of influence, but basically the post-Soviet criminal underground is quite connected, and they consider that this is bespridel. This is total breaking of everything, and they sense that this is hurting their own income and that this is just too much. This is too stupid and too violent. And yeah, it says something to you when people who are absolutely legitimate businessmen say that, well, I don't know, I had worked with these people in Ukraine and now you tell me they're Nazis. What the hell's going on? And in Ukraine, by the way, over there, there are Ponyatiya, which means that if you're a saboteur and work for the Russians and are a looter, or if you mark artillery and you get arrested and then you get put into Ukrainian prison, you must be made a petukh at the shortest possible opportunity, and you'll have no life. They guarantee this because, well, Bratva, they know they'll... Because, see, Putin knows that last time when these criminal parts got a lot of power, it was in the 90s and after the Chechen War. And he knows that if this war doesn't go well for him, or a lot of armed people who are conscripts come back and they're wounded and they have PTSD and they don't have good jobs available to them, and they won't have good jobs available to them, because think about this. Russia's under sanctions, right? Russia's under sanctions. The jobs are going away. A lot of people are losing their jobs, and those folks in Russia who'll come back home, they won't have places to work. But they at this point know how to shoot a gun. They know how to handle themselves. They will have seen actual war. Where do you think they'll go? To perfectly legitimate businesses and doing perfectly legitimate stuff. But Putin doesn't want that to happen, so now he's internally cracking down as much as he can, and that involves the legitimate business underground. So I can't really say that Bratva supports this, and specifically this conflict came into more direct view when recently Vladimir Solovyov, the chief propagandist of Kremlin, he assaulted the governor in one of the in Yekaterinburg in the Urals, and he reported that the governor had stated something about the fact that that Solovyov should not just spread lies as much and stuff, and Solovyov pulled out Ponyatye speak. He started speaking about strelkas and whatever, alluding to, well, the fact that the governor obviously had ties with the criminal underground. But the problem is, Solovyov is, a guy who owns two villas in Komi and is totally not a person that you would expect to be a rough person living by the law, by the laws of Vary. And you're not supposed to use Ponyatye in this sense. You're not supposed to basically... So if you're not living this life, if you're not in this culture, you shouldn't be walking around and just blatantly, just going to Bratva and just starting to talk with them. This was to me compared with, you get arrested in Russia for something, for protest or something or whatever, and if you're a decent normal person, because right now Russia's prisons are full with these people, you go to Bratva and say, hey guys, I respect your laws, I won't do anything, just I don't want to get involved, and they'll deal with you. Yeah, they won't hurt you, and then they won't allow bespredel to happen in prison. Because bespredel currently in Russian prisons is happening straight up from the government. They condone most beings and rapes in Russian prisons currently are done by their administration, and they're messing up the natural order of things. And although there is the prison world that I'm talking about, but they also have their own laws and rules, as you might know. So I was told that this compares to the fact that if you're this new salaga, as they call it, the first time guy who enters the prison room, and then you go straight up to the smatryashchi, the guy who watches over your barracks, because in Russian prisons you live in these huge rooms with 20 or 30 people in one huge room, and you go to him and, you start using blatnoy slang, you're trying to tell him that you're a cool dude, yeah, then you'll get beaten up, because that's disrespectful and you shouldn't do that. Just a word of advice. And then, apparently, specifically in Urals, now the organized crime is pissed off at Solovyov, because by Ponyatye, you have to respond to such accusations, and even the governor, even he responded in people in Kazakhstan also, by the way, because he managed to offend Kazakh legitimate business underworld as well, and these people had responded that Solovyov should really watch out and maybe not leave places without, guard, because I don't know if this is a good idea to piss off such people. But yeah, it's interesting since I had expected something like this to be happening, but hidden mobilization of criminal elements that no one's going to miss and a massive crackdown on both your police forces to make them utterly loyal, yeah, that angers them. Because, see, it's not your everyday cop that goes around in prisons and beats up people and extorts them and steals their money and everything and makes their life living hell. No. These are the hardcore Putin fanatics, because this has also caused this rift between the Russian organized crime and Vladimir Putin. Since, even if you go to prison for selling some weed for 2 years, you maybe don't want to get beaten up daily just because you also happen to be watching some Navalny or something. That's a thing to think about, because, strange times that we live in where apparently even Bratva are quite allied to the cause. But in other news, I was contacted by some people in the Ukrainian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And they gave me a material because, they have more access to even purer kind of disinfo things. And this is going to happen soon, by the way, after the Lend-Lease thing. I'm just going to finish this one off because that is also relevant to this current situation, because United States just accepted this Lend-Lease with an overwhelming overwhelming vote. I think it was 490 something versus 10. It was great to see bipartisanism over there. But Russian media are now trying to figure out how to spin this in a positive light for them, and how to make sure that, oh, this is actually going to hurt Ukraine. And they do it. They try to work it hard, because, you know, they have to report on this, and people know that this is happening, so they have to somehow turn this on. So now, and this is probably gonna be also in some, if someone is starting to talk about this in the West, then you know that they're probably bit by Russia, because currently they're now stating that land lease for Ukraine is a debt hole, so future generations of Ukrainians will have to carry this burden. Russian media are promoting the claim that Ukraine is bound to pay dearly for United States defense assistance. Alexei Martinov, director of the International Institute of Modern States, in an interview with Ukraina.ru, predicted a costly long-term retribution by which the next generation of Ukrainians will be burdened for, well, the military assistance that's currently being provided by the United States. In his opinion, despite the fact that today the U.S. assures that they are helping Ukraine free of charge, they will certainly demand that these debts be paid in full. Martinov had stressed that Washington came up with a scam, the true victims of which will be the legal successors of the current Ukrainian authorities, who will be forced to pay off their existing debts one way or another. He noted that this burden will fall on the shoulders of future generations of Ukrainians. Earlier, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov stated that the West allegedly encourages the country to fight to the last Ukrainian and supplies weapons to the Republic. And this is just weird, because these whole statements about allegedly terrible debt hole and retribution are part of a deliberate manipulation. Under the terms of the Lend-Lease program, Ukraine can enjoy potentially unlimited support from US and other nations, not only in weapons, ammunition, and equipment, but also in medicine, food, other essentials, and everything, and all this bypassing export controls. Under the terms of the program, U.S. military equipment may be written off and payment for destroyed equipment may not be charged. The Lend-Lease arrangement will complement congressional advanced defense support for Ukraine, which has already received $1.7 billion in aid. And it is beneficial. It's really, really good for Russian propaganda to spread messages about this unsustainable debt in order to neutralize assistance for Ukraine from the allied nations and to some extent discredit them. In terms of the fact that, allegedly because of their help, Ukrainians will long remain in debt. And this comes after Ukrainian society really praised and welcomed the Lend-Lease program. President Zelensky also praised the United States move, expressing his gratitude to American politicians in a video address. So, yeah, once again, you know, you have to spin something positively. But that's it for today. I probably won't have an episode tomorrow. I'll look at this, because I'll be in a play and I have some things to do. But yeah, have fun. Happiness is mandatory. And please, if you can, consider becoming our patron on patreon.com/theeasternborder, or you can just click the little money thing on our Twitter. Our Twitter is at eastern_border, or you can just go to theeasternborder.lv page and donate there via the donate button, or there's a link to our Patreon. And of course, support Ukrainian charities. Comebackalive.ua is my favorite one so far. До свидания, товарищи. And once again, happiness is mandatory.